Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 19. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium Tony Estrella.
Professor Pettis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, doing well.
How have you been lately? How was your weekend?
It was good. Went down and picked up our daughter from college on Thursday and Friday, and had a nice
Mother's Day?
Mother's Day weekend. Yeah, you know, celebrating all the moms in the world. Happy Mother's Day to all
Happy
the mothers
Mother's
out
Day,
there.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Yep.
Those of you who are responsible for us being here and
had a little something to do with it, didn't they?
Yeah, responsible for many other things as well. But yeah, happy Mother's Day to my mom, my stepmother, my grandmother, my wife, all the great moms out there.
Absolutely.
So yeah,
happy
How about
Mother's
you?
Day
you
to
guys
my
were
wife.
You guys did some time at the beach and
did a little beach time, a little getaway with. We went and picked up the boy at college and gave him a little break from pledging his fraternity. He's finally in, and
is
that's
that over
with. Yeah, that's over with. So. A little round of applause. It's official. So got a couple of college kids home and a high school girl finishing up. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to summer. It's right around the corner. Looking forward to a lot of things. But
well, we got a lot of reasons to look forward to summer. A lot of stuff that came out this week and a lot of new things to look forward to that we'll be talking about on the show today. Right. So
better than Thunder Force.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So bad.
Hopefully none of you watched
Please
that like
don't
I
watch
instructed
that.
You.
It was awful.
Well, before we get started, we always want to start by thanking our sponsor, Studio GG Studios, home of the Man Band, Corn on the Cob. Thanks again for all the support that you give Super Talk, and we'll levy as much as we can back at you. So please follow them, subscribe,
yeah.
Give them a like. We'll put a link to their page in the show notes. Please go check
Studio
them out.
Studio GG Studios, always a huge supporter. A little bit on a downside. They lost one of their pets, Pig, little chihuahua they called Pig. Rest in peace, Pig. Special little creature, special little monster.
Never easy losing a pet.
Never easy, but rest in peace. Rest in peace, Pig. This episode is dedicated to Pig.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you, Studio G, and also we want to thank the listeners who bring the show to you, and those are our patrons. Patreon.com/supertalk. Want to become a patron of the show? $1 per episode. That's all it takes. You'll become a patron. You'll be the ones that bring the show to the audiences along with our sponsors. So thank you to the patrons out there. And if you want to join, go check us out on patreon.com.
Please do. Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get into the news and reviews. We did have a pretty active week in the news department this week.
Yeah, a lot going on.
A lot of cool stuff. We'll start the news and reviews with what happened today. So we're recording the show on Monday. We had a little bit of a delay in the recording this week because of us being on a little bit of travel, but we got a big trailer that hit the wire today.
Yeah, hard to do a show on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, big trailer. Venom 2.
Venom,
Let There Be Carnage.
Let There Be Carnage. We got a trailer from Sony. Now, it had been rumored for a couple weeks that a trailer was coming, and so we were anticipating when that might happen. We heard a little bit of buzz over the weekend that this might be coming on Monday, and then first thing this morning, Sony Pictures dropped the trailer for Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and we got a lot of insights into what the movie's going to be about and kind of what we can look forward to.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson looks amazing in it.
They cut his hair, thankfully, and took that stupid wig off from the
Well, I think from what I can tell from the trailer is that him and Eddie Brock has developed some kind of relationship. He will only talk to Eddie Brock. And his whole thing behind that is Eddie's trying to get where all of his victims are. They're trying to find where the bodies are buried. Because a little Easter egg there. At some point, the cop, whoever that is, I guess he's a cop, in the trailer is holding a Daily Bugle. And it says on there, you know, where are all the bodies? And by Eddie Brock. So he's apparently writing for the Daily Bugle. And trying to crack that code, but looks
and
great.
And that actor that plays that cop in the movie was in Boardwalk Empire, played a young Al Capone.
Oh,
Al
nice.
Capone in the Boardwalk Empire
You've
show.
You've loved that series.
It was
you
great.
Told me to watch
you
it.
Watch
I, yeah, I got to get into that.
It's one of those that if, you know, you've run out of new things to watch, go back and watch that one. But yes, I know the actor very well, so it seems like he plays a pretty important role in the plot of the movie. And to your point, they're trying to find all the bodies, right? Where are all the bodies buried?
From that serial killer.
So Cletus Cassidy is a serial killer. He's in prison because he's a serial killer, and there's some subplot of trying to find out where all the bodies
are. Played by Woody Harrelson, right?
And we did see, and I don't know if you picked up on this, in the comics, Carnage's girlfriend / kind of partner in crime is a character named Screech.
Screech, yeah.
And we did see the actress playing that character. We did see her in the trailer.
She had the glowing eyes, and she also exploded everything, I guess, with screaming and everything in her.
She has some sonic, you know, voice-based powers and abilities, and she happens to be in a different prison in New York. So that's going to be a very big part of the plot as well. I think
Rosecroft?
Yeah, Rosecroft Institute or
Rosecroft Asylum or something like that.
Yeah, and I think what they're trying to do is, it seems like they're trying to move Venom, who is the original movie, the first Venom movie, and the start of this movie is in San Francisco, where Alcatraz is. That happens to be where Carnage is being held. It looks like they're trying to move things to New York City. And the hope is that means kind of a crossover or integration with the MCU and potentially Spider-Man becoming part of the mix.
Interesting.
The director of the movie is
Andy Sudeikis. I'm going to butcher it.
Andy Serkis.
He played Gotham, right? Gollum, right?
Gollum. Andy Serkis is the director, and he mentioned that in the Venomverse, currently in the movies, they're unaware of Spider-Man. Right. Okay. They don't know about Spider-Man. They don't know anything about him. They don't know he exists. We know there's a huge ultimate connection between Venom and Spider-Man, but the way that Sony has chosen to develop that character and bring him along, there is no connection, and there's no reason. And this really kind
of... The only Easter egg I saw was the Daily Bugle. That was, you know...
And it was the Daily Bugle logo and cover from the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man.
Interesting. Okay.
So we'll kind of see how that ends up happening. But I do think there are plans, at least. And I guess there was like one part of when he's like shutting the newspaper. You can kind of see the second half of the word Avengers in the newspaper.
Interesting.
So it seems like they're trying to at least set the stage for an integration into the MCU or a crossover, or, you know, Tom Holland's version of Spider-Man interacting with Venom at some point in time. And that would be awesome. I think we're all looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was a little Easter egg. There's a Stan Lee sighting. I guess his cover is on one of the magazines when he walks into Mrs. Chow's
convenience store,
yeah, and which is kind of cool. She says, "Hello, Eddie. Hello, Venom." So she's acknowledging that he is Venom, which is kind of cool. She knows,
and I guess there's some deal they made where Venom would continue to protect the store and her as long as she stocked this special kind of chocolate that Venom liked.
Yeah,
and he walks in there, and they're out of it. And then Venom says, "We should just eat Mrs. Chow." but you do get to see in the first part of the trailer, you do get to see the relationship that Eddie has with the symbiote, right? That you know, the symbiote's kind of doing its own thing. It's cooking him breakfast while he's just trying to just patiently sit and wait. And the symbiote's doing everything, and then tosses a bunch of plates onto the table, says, "Yum, yum."
You know? Really, it's going to be a cool movie.
Really going to be crazy. It'll be interesting to see how Sony goes through the origin story of Carnage, because in the comic books, Eddie Brock and Cletus Cassidy were cellmates. And the way that the Carnage symbiote was created was
part of Venom.
A piece of the Venom symbiote. So Eddie was in prison without the symbiote. He was there without it.
Right.
And the symbiote broke into the prison to break Eddie out. And when it did, a piece of it came off and latched on to Cletus Cassidy, which then created the Carnage symbiote. So it'll be interesting to see how they
handle that, how they
address
treat that. Yeah.
Right.
How he gets the symbiote.
We do see the scene in the trailer of him becoming Carnage the first time. He's on death row. He's going to get a lethal injection, and they pump the poison into his veins, and the Carnage symbiote comes to life and saves him.
Right.
So It'll be interesting to see how they kind of handle that whole backstory.
And we got a couple of glimpses of what he's going to look like, which is really cool. Very comic book wild. He's all over the place. He's no real structure, just all this. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, and I think they are. And I think they didn't name this movie Maximum Carnage because I think what they're trying to do is set up the Maximum Carnage storyline was Venom and Spider-Man joining forces to stop Carnage because, and there's this whole huge lore about Carnage, and supposedly he's been foretold, and the Darkhold is the one that's going to bring about the end of the world and all this other stuff. So there's a lot of history behind the Carnage character in the comics, but we'll see where they're going with this, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I do like Tom Hardy. I do like what he did to the character in the first movie, and I think Sony is definitely got some runway now, and I think this new deal between Sony and Marvel is getting us closer and closer to these characters in the Sonyverse somehow, some way integrating into the MCU at some point in time, which will be exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I thought that was great. The trailer was great, and hopefully we get more.
Yep, and so another thing that we got, we've been talking about this, the next real big series for Marvel that's coming to Disney Plus is Loki, and we talked about how excited we were to watch that first trailer.
Yeah,
we did get another trailer, some extended scenes that we got from the Loki series, and the big announcement though was they're moving to Wednesday. So all of the Disney Plus shows thus far have been released on Fridays. And Tom Hiddleston comes on and does his kind of like thing in front of the screen, says, I think Wednesday seems like a better day for Loki than a Friday. And so instead of June 11th, which was the original date, is now pushed back to June 9th, which is going to be great.
That's cool.
And the big reason behind that is, supposedly, Disney has made some big announcements about some of the other content they're releasing on Disney Plus, specifically Star Wars content. They've got a bunch of new Star Wars,
Bad Batch and some other, they've got a lot coming out.
New Star Wars shows that they're coming out with on Disney Plus, and they don't want them to be fighting with the Marvel content for screen time.
Right.
They want each kind of property to have its own day. And so I think we're going to see this moving forward. Most, if not all, of the Marvel content being released on Disney Plus will be Wednesdays, and any of the Star Wars content is going to be released on Fridays.
Interesting. So that works for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
and also the other big reason is, we haven't had movies in the theaters for, many months because of the COVID pandemic. Well, when those movies do start coming back out, they're coming back out on Fridays, and they don't want to take people out of the theaters to watch shows on Disney Plus. They want them in the theaters.
No, it makes sense.
So Wednesday makes sense, and give us the show 2 days early. We're going to be happy for that.
That way we get to watch it three times instead of just once before we record
our show. Right, exactly.
Before we insinuate and think of Mephisto. Okay, so I said it.
And another big trailer we got this week as well, which was humongous. Marvel came out and released kind of a promotional promotional trailer
recap of all the phases, and then a little piece of Phase 4.
It kind of started with a Stan Lee talkover.
He narrates
the early part of the trailer where he talked about why superheroes are so great and why you go to the movies and why you want to see them and why you care about them. Saw some previous scenes from previous movies that had come out. And then we get into some of the new movies that are coming out. And really, Marvel put this out to kind of get people excited about going back to the movie theater. And that's what really
they pushed
was.
They pushed everything back again. And that's exactly what it was. Professor, you've hit the nail right on the head, especially the little clip of Black Widow, which everybody is starved for right now. They just want more and more. So they gave you a little nugget there, and then they gave you some Eternals, clips from Eternals.
We haven't got
And that one shot. I remember Kevin Feige talking about this one shot about the sun and the mist and on the beach, this cliff. I remember him going on and on about that, and we actually saw a little clip of that, and it looks spectacular. Visually, it's going to be spectacular.
And we talked last week about Chloe Zhao winning the Oscar for best director and best movie. I think her treatment of this is going to be great. And we hadn't gotten a trailer. We haven't even seen anything.
We haven't seen any of the characters.
And this was the first time we got to see some real footage from the movie.
Yeah.
We got to see Angelina Jolie's character brandishing her sword, which, and she's kind of the, I want to say, she her character is patterned after Athena, you know, the goddess Athena.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like a badass in the movie. And I really can't wait for us to get a full trailer, full extended trailer for the movie, which I think will be coming soon. At a minimum, we'll get it with the Black Widow movie.
Yes.
I think at a minimum, we'll get a full trailer with that.
But that's in July.
But this teaser was enough to kind of wet our whistle a little bit about what the uniforms will look like and the characters are going to look like.
They went nuts. The internet went nuts over this. So they did exactly what they wanted to do. Yep. They created a lot of buzz.
But the other big part of this trailer was they announced their full slate of movies through 2023, or at least part of 2023.
Yeah.
We kind of talked through that, but they not only told us what dates every movie's coming out.
Yes.
They also revealed some titles previously had not been revealed.
Black Panther 2 title.
Right.
Wakanda Forever. A little Black Panther, then the big Wakanda Forever. I thought that was great.
Yeah, we got the confirmed dates of Spider-Man No Way Home, December 17th this year. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, March 25th next year.
Mm-hmm.
Thor Love and Thunder, May 6th, 2022. Then we got the big reveal of the Black Panther Wakanda Forever title, July 8th next year. So that movie is coming out next summer. So you know they're beginning that filming soon.
Oh, they're in pre-production,
and
it's been tight-lipped. You know, it's interesting because we haven't heard much about Doctor Strange, and we know they've been filming for a while. Very tight-lipped. Now, there has been some leaks for that movie, but it's been pretty tight-lipped. But the Wakanda Forever, that movie has been really shut down.
And you know Ryan Coogler has been hard at work on a script, rewriting kind of a storyline without Chadwick Boseman as a Black Panther. Who's going to be the new Black Panther? We'll spend an episode at some point in time talking about what we think is going to happen.
Absolutely.
But they're going to have some plans. And again, there's some rumors out there of
told they're not going to recast for that.
We know that for sure. But there's been rumors out there that Michael B. Jordan may be more involved than we know about, that they may be trying to bring him back in some capacity. And there's other rumors about who it could be. We'll get into that in a future episode. But the fact it's called Wakanda Forever, we know the movie's coming out. That's great. We got a date for that next July. So we should be hearing more and more about who's being cast, who's going to be in the movie, who's playing what. That should be coming out very soon.
Yeah, a lot of people are returning to that movie.
Yes.
So should be interesting.
And we also got another big reveal of the next Captain Marvel movie, which is going to be coming out November 11th of next year, is going to be titled The Marvels.
Shocker.
A bit, but it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, right? So we have Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Right.
We know the Ms. Marvel Disney Plus show is coming out early next year.
Yeah, will already have been out.
It's coming out in the spring next year,
right?
So I believe the release slate goes Loki, What If, then we get Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel kind of back-to-back, right? And then we get She-Hulk and Moon Knight next year.
Yeah.
But Ms. Marvel may come out. It's on the slate. It says right now, late 2021.
Right.
So it's possible it comes out in December or November, December this year. So we'll have had Ms. Marvel, who is a new character they're introducing, and I believe she'll be part of that movie. And we did see the other version of Captain Marvel we know from the comics,
Monica Rambeau
in the WandaVision show, and whether she now becomes Spectrum or Photon or another version of Captain Marvel.
I'm starting to lean now towards Spectrum, just with her power set and what happened. And her mother was really Photon.
Right.
I could see her taking that as her call letter. Her mother was a fighter pilot, and her call signal was Photon. I can see her now maybe becoming Spectrum instead of Photon for this. But it's interesting. She's definitely going to be in
They're titling that movie
The Marvels.
The Marvels, which means that I can see that Ms. Marvel is going to be a big part of that movie, at least at a minimum. And we know Monica Rambeau is going to be in it. We've already been told of that.
Girl fest. I'm ready for it. Give me a girl fest.
And then we got the confirmation of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, coming out February 17th, 2023. So that'll be the first movie released in 2023. They gave us a confirmed date: Guardians Volume 3, May 5th, 2023.
Yep.
So that'll be May. And then we got a snapshot of, or just a view of, the Fantastic Four logo. No title.
No title.
No date.
No date.
So undisclosed title, undisclosed
2023, date. 2023, 2024.
Well,
interesting.
It was just the last one they showed. And so what that tells me is it's either summer. So if we got Guardians Volume 3 in May, this means there's always a Marvel movie in July.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be that July movie or it'll be their fall, like September or October.
September, November.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, and that tells me that we're going to have heard some kind of casting news. If that movie's 2 years away, let's just say it's 2 years from this summer, you got to cast actors. You got to have a director in place.
Yeah.
We know the director already.
Right.
We know that it's the guy directing the Spider-Man No Way Home movie.
Right.
So we know the director's there. There's got to be a script. We got to hear casting announcements.
They
got
to be working on the script, rewrites and stuff like that. There's got to be a casting soon. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Now, you were concerned about a movie that was left off of that list.
Yep. So they didn't say anything about Blade. So in 2019, Comic-Con 2019, the last time we saw Kevin Feige on stage, the Hall H, kind of reveal, they kind of went over their entire slate of movies coming in Phase 4.
He gave it a lot of love. He even put on a Blade hat.
And Mahershala Ali came out on stage, and he's like, "We're really excited. We've signed on Mahershala Ali to play the next version of Blade.
What's going
on there?"
We're
really excited. Well, that movie was not on the slate of movies that they were talking about. So at first glance, it tells me it's not coming out before Fantastic Four. So it's going to be July, August, September, 2023, or beyond
December, right?
Or potentially 2024,
right?
The rumors that I've heard are that there's a limited number of directors that they want to be involved with this project, and that slate of directors already have a schedule, and so they're competing with when is this director going to be freed up to work on this movie?
Yeah,
and so. Again, the rumors I've heard is they're trying to attach the right director to the project. And until you have a director in place, no matter what script you have or what actors you have in place, the vision of the movie is never going to be fully painted until the director's in. And so I think the first thing we'll hear is a director's been put in place of the project. And once we have that, we might get a date at that point in time. But from what I hear, they're trying to get a couple of the very popular directors out there who they feel should be running this movie.
Could Ryan do it?
I wasn't going to say that, but I have a feel. So Ryan Coogler is very busy with two things right now. He's got Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, coming out next July.
Huge weight on his shoulder for that project.
And we also know he's writing the Disney Plus Wakanda series that they have slated for Disney Plus, which is not on the schedule yet, but we know he's involved in that.
Yeah.
Right? We know that they signed into a long-term
deal. Is that
an
animated series?
We don't know. We know nothing about it yet.
Okay.
However, I do think that that may be somebody they're trying to tap for that role. And again, based on how busy he is over the next couple of years, they may not want to saddle
him
with that. Because here's what's going to happen. You come out and say Ryan Coogler is directing the Blade movie.
Every interview is going to ask him about it.
They're all going to ask him about it.
Sure.
And he doesn't have time to be.
Well, plus he's going to be promoting Wakanda Forever. So
yeah, exactly. So I do think that that's going to come at some point in time. But I was really surprised that they left that off the list because they were super excited about
that. They were very. I mean, he put on a hat, for Christ's sakes. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, and then we also did get another trailer just a couple of days ago. We did get the first What If trailer from Marvel and Disney Plus.
I just watched that this morning.
Yep. The What If series is coming to Disney Plus sometime this summer. We believe it'll be right after Loki. So Loki will be June to kind of mid-July. What If will probably come out. Maybe there'll be a week in between. And so I'm thinking late July, early August, we'll get the What If series.
I think it'll probably land after the Black Widow. So after July 9th.
Right. So this is a animated series that they're releasing on Disney Plus, and it
looks great.
Yep. Goes back to, there was a comic book series called What If, and it said, what if this scenario painted, and it's not the comic history, but what if something else happened? What would have happened?
Yeah.
And we know some of the popular themes that they're going, some of the episodes that are going to be released. We've seen some of them. What if Steve Rogers didn't get the super soldier serum and it was Peggy Carter?
Yeah, Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
She becomes the British.
She becomes America. Captain Britain.
Captain Britain.
And he ends up becoming the first version of Iron Man, right? So we know that's one. We know what if
King T'Challa was kidnapped.
T'Challa was the one kidnapped by
Yondu.
Yondu.
Yeah.
Instead of...
And he becomes Star-Lord.
Peter Quill. And he becomes the new the Star-Lord. Right. Right. We know that's one. We know there's one of Doctor Strange. We saw some scenes of him fighting an evil...
Doctor Strange.
Dark version of himself, maybe from an alternate timeline. Yeah. So what if that happened? We know there's a zombie Avengers.
Yeah, that Bucky was fighting some zombies.
Zombie Captain America,
that
right?
looks great.
Yeah, we know that one's coming. We know there's one with Iron Man. So
right.
All
narrated by The Watcher, right?
Right, The Watcher. They've got the guy who he was in Westworld, and he's done a ton of other
great
things.
Great voice.
Yeah. Did all the commercials for IBM Watson, I think, was it what is big, or is it Dell or something? He does a bunch of commercials, but he's a fantastic actor, narrating all of those. I just think that series is going to be great content for us. And what the other brilliant part of it is they had every one of the actors come back and voice their characters in each one of these series. So we do have Chadwick Boseman voicing himself,
yeah.
In this, he did that before he passed away. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really
cool. Yeah, that'll be really cool. I'm into animated stuff lately with Invincible now that's done.
Yep.
It's kind of brought back my faith in animation.
And the animation style they're using for that show looks very unique and something that looks very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Yeah.
So we did get that. So
great
if you haven't
trailer.
Seen that, go out and check out that trailer. Very cool. And as I mentioned, I think with the Fantastic Four kind of at least being announced, we know it's on the slate. We know they're working on it. I have a feeling they're going to have a casting announcement soon. So I'm looking forward to that. But we'll kind of get into that in this week's topic of the week as well.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else?
What'd you think of? We just watched the first episode of Jupiter's Legacy. What'd you think?
Yeah, so those of you who don't know, Jupiter's Legacy is a series released on Netflix. It's a superhero live action, stars Josh Duhamel as kind of the, you know,
he plays Utopia, the
Utopian,
Superman type,
right?
Yeah.
The Superman type of character. First episode was good. I'm looking forward to seeing. I think they released all six of them, right? So we got
the
whole first season. It's already been released. Again, the rumor I heard was that the Jupiter's Legacy person who wrote the show has plans for an entire set of shows based around this universe and the different characters, and he says I've got, you know, different ideas for different shows I can, and so he's selling this to Netflix as something that's kind of a franchise that can kind of build,
yeah,
similar to like The Boys being very popular and having offshoot shows from that. He's hoping that this becomes that popular. Again, I'm looking forward to seeing all six, but the first one got enough of my interest that I want to watch the rest. So
it's pretty good. I'm on episode four. It's pretty good. I'm interested to see where it goes, but the Rotten Tomatoes kind of canned it.
Yeah.
Did not do well on Rotten Tomatoes, but my youngest daughter, Gabby, she didn't like it very much.
How did Thunder Force do on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, I don't even think it got to, it was certified ugly. I mean, just not even rotten, just straight down at the bottom, ugly.
All right, so we'll let's get into our topic of the week this week, and there are certain characters that we know are coming back to the MCU at some point in time, and then there are certain characters that we believe will, while there's never been an official announcement by Marvel about these characters, we feel that they're coming at some point in time, and we said, well, let's talk about these characters, why we're interested in them coming into the MCU. And let's talk about who we'd like to see possibly cast in those roles, and who would be good castings.
Right.
And as you and I've talked, Tone, Marvel casting, complete
second
faith,
to none.
They'll find the right person to play this role. And we know there's a couple of actors out there that have either been signed to deals but not yet disclosed of who they're playing.
Right.
And we're like, well, could they be playing any of these characters and those types of things?
Yeah, we're just gonna do a fan casting here, guys.
Yeah.
And your opinions count. So put them in the comments on YouTube. Go ahead and put them in the comments who you think would be better than maybe one of our suggestions. We'd love to hear what you guys think. Or hit us up on Twitter or on YouTube. Just let us know.
All right, so the first one we'll start with is one of our favorites, and he's sitting up here on the desk for those who are on YouTube can see him. So Wolverine.
That's a cool comic right there, dude.
Yeah, so this is Wolverine, number one, first edition of the first ever limited series from Wolverine. That's
number
one.
Wolverine, number one, right there,
one of my
folks.
Prized possessions.
That is.
But
it came in an armored car, and three guys with a metal suitcase.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you driving it over tonight. But I, you know, one of my favorite characters in the comics ever.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, in my top three for sure.
And Hugh Jackman set the bar so fucking high, it's going to be really hard to replace him. But I think Marvel can do it.
And you and I have talked about this before. When that role was being cast the first time, there were so many rumors around
a Broadway star.
Right. And when Hugh Jackman was cast in that role, like, he's too tall. What is he going to do? You know, Wolverine's like 5'6". Well, you know,
he's like a keg. Yeah. Wolverine is like a keg, a furry little
Why
keg.
Why didn't you cast Bob Hoskins? It was like, I mean, so many of these great rumors around. But as we've talked about, Hugh Jackman crushed it. I mean, for what, 12 years he played that character?
Yep.
Through three X-Men movies, three Wolverine movies and a Logan movie. So, I mean, he killed it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this role to be recast. And I think that Marvel and Marvel casting has a huge, huge burden on their shoulders as to who they cast to play this role for the next 10 years.
And not only who they cast, but tie them down for 10 years for this position. Who do you think?
Well, so I want to start off by saying what we believe, and this is, again, we have not heard anything official from Marvel, but from what we've heard, the rumors out there are Marvel is considering an anthology series on Disney Plus about Wolverine the character.
Okay.
And that series could span a number of decades. So we would go back and see Wolverine fighting in World War II in the 40s. We'd see Wolverine fighting in the Vietnam War. We'd see a more modern version of Wolverine. I believe that it's quite possible there may be several different actors playing Wolverine in different timelines in that series. So instead of that same actor playing Wolverine across that timeline, they may have an older actor playing, you know, the original version of Wolverine, and maybe a younger actor playing the more recent version, just to kind of show the depth of the character and maybe have the right person at the right timeline. So it's possible we might see more than one. What if they had a Disney Plus series spanning a number of decades of Wolverine and different stories of Wolverine and different periods of time, and there was a different actor playing him in each one of those decades? So say it was 6 episodes, and each episode was a different decade. Like, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. We'd do a bunch of different Wolverine stories, and maybe time in Madripoor in Japan, and a bunch of other things. And a different actor played him in each one of those episodes. That would be, number one, very cool. But it would also allow them to kind of cast different people for those different roles based on the plot of the show. I think that that's possible. Now, I think the most important thing is, who's going to play Wolverine in, when he comes into the Avengers movies, or when he's in the next X-Men movie, or the Mutants movie that they're supposedly releasing? Who's going to play this character for the next 5 to 10 years? And I think that's the most important question that I think we should try to answer here.
Okay. Who do you got?
I've got a few.
I thought the assignment was one.
Okay.
But you got a few.
I've got a handful.
Oh, boy.
So one of my top choices would be Charlie Hunnam. So Charlie Hunnam is famous for Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm. Was in the movie, came out last summer with...
His name's been bounced around a lot in Marvel.
Right.
And DC. Great actor, good looking guy. I think somebody wants him on the bill.
What was the movie that came out last summer with Hugh Grant, where like they had like he was like the bodyguard for Hugh Grant's character, and then you remember that it was like a bunch of different guys. I can't remember the name of it, but he's in that. I mean, Charlie Hunnam. If you watch Sons of Anarchy, great show. He played the son of one of the founders of the Sons of Anarchy. Was the vice president of the motorcycle club. Great character, great actor, and I think, you know, he's a guy that could play that role for an extended period of time. He's young enough. He's, you know, kind of has the build for it. He's
no
an athletic
question.
Guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, cut his hair right, have him grow a beard, whatever you want to do. I think he'd be a good fit for that.
That's a great call. All right. And so I like that.
Why don't you give me one of yours, Tom?
I only have two. Okay. I only have two. Garrett Hedlund, who was the guy that played in Tron Legacy.
Yes.
So
I've got him in another list of mine.
Okay.
But go ahead.
I think that he would make a great Wolverine. Good actor, young guy. He's 36 years old. He's kind of tall, around the same height as Hugh Jackman. I think he's 6'3".
So he played Tron's son in Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy.
Was kind of the new version of Tron, right? Yeah, and I remember him. He's a good actor. Good
actor.
Kid. Yeah, I think.
I think he'd be pretty good.
He's on one of my other lists for another character.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, he'd be good. Okay.
And then I have Liam Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth's brother. And I don't know how good he would be. He was in the Hunger Games,
right.
You know. He did the Hunger Games. He was in the Expandables. So he's kind of a action star. I think he might do a pretty good job at it. I mean... He's only 31 years old, so you got to pick an actor, I think, that is young enough to be able to sustain that kind of action and that kind of durability for 10 movies, you know? So that could be 15 years.
I have a feeling that Marvel is not going to go with somebody super well-known or super popular.
Agree.
The problem with casting a well-known popular actor in this role is they're going to always bring that kind of baggage of what they played before with them.
Yeah.
So by casting somebody who is either relatively unknown or has maybe a very limited slate of past stuff, maybe somebody that we can grasp in this role a bit easier, because we're not worried about, oh, it's Tom Cruise. Oh, he played, you know, he's in Top Gun and he was in Mission Impossible.
When I was going through,
right.
That was on my mind as well. Like somebody that hasn't been James Bond, you know, or somebody that hasn't been a huge role actor. The guy that played,
I'll give you another one.
Okay,
here's another one of mine. Alexander Draiman. So one of my hidden pleasures and one of the hidden gems that my wife and I watch on Netflix is a show called The Last Kingdom. So The Last Kingdom is a show that goes through the Danish invasion of England and the Danes kind of coming in and settling in. And there's a character on that show is called Uhtred.
Yeah.
Uhtred of Bedenborough. Mm-hmm. And Alexander Draiman plays Uhtred. Good actor. You know, he's in shape. He's, you know, it seems like he's got a little bit of depth, but that's the only role he's been in.
Yeah.
And he's done it very well. And from what I understand, they're filming that last season of that show right now. And that's going to be done when it comes out this summer. And so he's going to be freed up. And I think he might be a kind of a sleeper.
That's a great call. That's a good show, by the way. I've seen that.
Really good show. But yeah. I think he's played that role really well, and he's kind of got some personality and some, you know, strength about him. I do think that he would be good in that role. He's got dark hair, you know, he kind of fits the role. And I just think he'd be a guy that I'd love to see in that role, because I think he can go beyond what he's done. And
for YouTube, I'm going to try to put their pictures up real quick so you can see them.
Now, a couple of other rumors that we'll kind of talk through, and you and I should talk about why they don't make sense. So Henry Cavill has been linked to the role a little bit. So we know that DC right now has basically been teasing Henry Cavill in whether or not he's coming back in the role as Superman. You and I have talked about this at length.
Yeah.
He's a great Superman. He's
great.
Probably the best Superman that we've ever seen on screen.
He was my number one when we ranked Superman.
Right. And I hope that he comes back as Superman. Now,
me too.
We know that DC Comics is coming out with a new comic that's going to have a black Superman in it. And whether that's the direction the movies go, we don't know. We don't know if they're going to drop Henry Cavill for somebody else. We don't know any of this. We don't know what DC's doing. But if they do drop him, it's like, oh, he's now freed up. He can play Wolverine. 10 years ago, if you would have told me Henry Cavill was cast as Wolverine, I'd have been like, oh, okay, I'll take the chance. Seems like a pretty good. But the fact that he was Superman...
Tough.
That would be a tough transition.
Tough, because I've heard his name bounced around for James Bond. That'd be tough.
But he could do that, though.
Absolutely. He's got the accent. He'd be perfect for it. But that'd be tough. He's kind of got that label as Superman. So, I don't know. Good. Who else you got? Anybody else?
Jai Courtney. Plays Captain Boomerang in Suicide Squad.
Okay, lunatic. I like
that. Yes. So he's got the kind of the look, and he kind of can play that crazy.
Oh, he can play crazy.
Yeah. So he'd be, I think, a good fit.
Yeah, right? not a lot under his belt as far as big roles.
No, again, we've seen him in, you know, as Captain Boomerang in the Suicide. First Suicide Squad, and he's going to be that role in the second one as well. So I think he could be good in that role.
That's great. Yeah. Okay.
So those are the ones I had. I wanted to talk through.
Wolverine. So. Anybody got any others for Wolverine? Put them in the comments.
All right. Next character we want to talk about. Adam Warlock. So we have been teased that Adam Warlock is not only going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but he was teased at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Is he coming to the movie? We believe he is. We believe he's going to play a big role in that movie, whether he's the antagonist of the movie or it's some character that gets introduced somehow, some way. We have a feeling that that character is going to be in that movie. Now, we know the broadcast of the Guardians characters are coming back. We haven't heard anything official from James Gunn, but we believe the current cast is coming back as it is. But we haven't heard anything about who's being cast in that role.
Well, there was a huge rumor about who was cast as Adam Warlock, which was Zac Efron. A big rumor about Zac Efron being cast as Adam Warlock. And James Gunn released on Twitter, he said, if I was looking for a Zac Efron type actor for Adam Warlock, I would go ask Zac Efron.
Why would I just cast Zac Efron?
That's right. And then he said, and I think it's...
Well, people were putting those words in his mouth.
Yes.
And he came out and said, I did not say those things.
Right. And he also said that if I'm going to cast a golden god, why do you assume it's a Caucasian?
Right. Because they've golden skin. They can be anybody.
It could be anybody. So that opens it up to a lot of innuendo and a lot of who is going to be
Look,
what.
You and I both know that role has either been cast.
It's been cast.
Or he knows exactly who he's casting
in that role. Of course.
Of course. So the question is, who is it? And while the deflection of Zac Efron could be a ruse on his part, and I wouldn't put it past James Gunn to do that. So I think Zac Efron still is a good...
He's a maybe.
He's a... I think he'd be good in
that
role.
He's on the list.
Yeah.
He's on a list.
But he's... I mean, I don't think by any means he is, but I think he's still in contention.
Okay.
Right? The other one I've heard is Nikolai Coster-Waldau from... Game of Thrones, right? Played Jamie Lannister in Game of Thrones. That's another one that's been rumored to be that character. I think he fits the bill as far as the character is concerned. A great actor. You know, I think he would be a good Adam Warlock.
I think he would be too. I have him as somebody else, but I have Matt Boomer. Matt Boomer, good-looking guy, very good-looking guy. He was in White Collar, that TV show. He was also in Will and Grace. He was a dancer in Magic Mike. I just think he's ridiculously good looking, chiseled features. If you were going to create a super being that Adam Warlock would be, you would want him to be perfect. And this guy
is. And so what is his like most famous role?
His most famous role, I think, is between a Magic Mike, and he was also in Will and Grace. And then he was kind of the lead in a TV show called White Collar.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Harry Cavill a little bit.
Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill, I'm sorry. Yeah. Henry Cavill. You know what I'm saying? They kind of look a lot alike. So that's who I have is Adam Warlock.
The guy you mentioned earlier, Garrett Hedlund, I do think that he's a guy that I would consider in this role. So
okay.
That's when you said Wolverine, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think he would be good
in Adam Warlock. You put him there because he is a great actor and he hasn't been in anything huge but Tron, right? So he already has that relationship
with
Disney.
But he does have like kind of the features and everything else,
perfect,
right? So that's why I had him as an Adam Warlock
kind
of guy.
Okay.
The other one is Travis Fimmel. So Travis Fimmel was famously in the series called Vikings on BBC and now on Amazon Prime. He plays Ragnar Lothbrok in that series, was in the movie Warcraft. he's a guy that, that kind of could fill the Adam Warlock shoes too. I think that would be somebody I'd like to see.
Not as well known, but good actor. Yeah.
Right.
Good.
Right. And then, you know, there's, it's Keanu Reeves and all that. I mean, come on. You and I know who Keanu's playing.
Sure.
We just don't know when.
Right.
We think he's going to be Ghost Rider.
We hope he's going to be Ghost Rider. Right. I mean, that's what a great role for him.
Right. All right. So next one I want to talk about is Nova. One of your favorites.
Richard Rider.
Rick Rider. The version of Nova. From what we know in the MCU so far, the Nova Corps has been destroyed, right? So Thanos went to Xandar, got the Power Stone, and the Nova Corps has basically been decimated, and Xandar has been destroyed.
Yeah.
So this gives us the Nova Force can now enter into Rick Rider, and he can become Nova. And so the question is, does he show up in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3? Does he show up in another movie? And if so, who's going to play this character? And I know it's one of your favorites, Titanium. So what are your thoughts about who could play him?
Well, at first, I've always envisioned Richard Madden playing Nova. I always thought, in my mind, that's who would be perfect as Nova. He's the guy from Game of Thrones. Who was he in Game of Thrones that died in the Red Wedding? I can't believe
it. Rob Stark.
Rob Stark.
But so, he's in Eternals.
I know. Well, that's why before Internals, Richard Marsden. And he would be my Nova for sure. But now he's already in Internals. So he's
Icarus in Eternals. He can't be Nova.
He cannot.
Okay.
So my second choice, I think, would be Luke Evans. Luke Evans is an actor from Dracula Untold. He's in the Fast and Furious 6. He also was in The Hobbit. Do you know who he
is? No, I know exactly who Luke Evans is. Yeah.
And for me, when I had Richard
he was in that show on
he played in
TBS
Beauty and the Beast
with Daniel Brühl.
Yes.
What's it called? The something. They're back in like the 1920s or 30s. They play like a weird kind of, it's kind of like a Sherlock Holmes type of thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the show, but yes, go ahead.
Great actor.
Yeah.
Hasn't been in, he's been kind of a side, like a number two, a supporting actor in a lot of stuff. I thought he'd either be a great Namor or a great Nova. So really that's who I got.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
The first one, we heard a rumor about this person being linked to a Marvel project and a Marvel character in an undisclosed role, but there was no announcement about what that was. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was rumored to be signed or in conversations with Marvel to play a role in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I haven't been told anything. That is one of my guesses as who's going to be playing Rick Rider and Nova.
I don't, just not that dynamic presence on screen. I can't see him up on the big screen commanding the attention of the audience. So,
okay. I'm going to give you another one that may.
Okay.
Harry Styles.
Holy shit. You went there. Harry Styles.
So,
from One Direction.
From One Direction. Obviously, one of the most famous, you know, singers in the world right now. I mean, every girl in the world.
And I've heard he's got acting chops.
Well, he was in, what was the movie, the Christopher Nolan movie about World War II, the one.
Wow.
What was the name of that movie? With
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. So he was in that movie.
Holy shit.
So he has tried acting and he would be a huge get for Marvel.
He would be a huge get, and he would be stunning on the big screen.
And he would be beloved by so many people around the world in that role.
All right. Yeah, you just blew my picks out of the fucking water. Harry Styles, what a great call.
Yeah.
That'd be a huge get for Marvel, though. Very expensive.
It's not like they don't get huge people. I mean, you win an Oscar, and Marvel gives you a phone call, and you go play a Marvel character.
Yeah, but, you know, you're not casting Taylor Swift as Wonder Woman.
She didn't win an Oscar.
No, she didn't. Wow, that's great call. I like that. I would love to see him as Nova.
I think he would bring his fame, notoriety, and give that role some credibility and bring an audience to the movie immediately that may not
Nova
go see
is,
him play.
As you and I have said, Nova's not an A-list superhero. He's definitely a lower run superhero that doesn't have the notoriety except for with fanboys like myself and you that would know about. So bringing a big star like that would automatically bring a fan base to that character. Wow. I like it.
All right.
I like it a lot, good. Professor. Shit.
All right. And the last one I want to talk about is a villain, and this is Dr. Doom. So we mentioned this earlier. We believe Dr. Doom is not only coming to the MCU, and whether it's in the new Fantastic Four movie or some other movie as an antagonist, a villain, this is one of the biggest villains in Marvel Comics history, going to play an important role at some point in time.
He's a Thanos-level type villain.
He's just that thorn in the side of everybody and yep. has enough influence and power and smarts and technology
yep.
to just always be, you know, he's the Ultron, he's the Thanos, he's the
power broker.
Yeah, he's somebody that everybody's going to be fighting against. And yeah. again, whether they use him in the Fantastic Four movie or some other property, we don't know yet. But I do believe somebody famous is going to be playing that role. The people they've cast in that role in the previous iterations of the Fantastic Four movies was not really somebody that you would call, you know, notoriable or whatever. It's yeah. not somebody that you really care about. I think they need to bring somebody powerful to that role.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of guesses who that might
like
be.
Like an Anthony Hopkins type of character.
That type of acting chops, but yes. not that old, right? Somebody much younger. So my number one pick for this is Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, I like that.
So Viggo, obviously, from my perspective, his greatest role is in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, sure. right? So,
yep.
he was just fantastic in that. He was most recently in Green Book with yep. Mahershala Ali, was fantastic in that as well. I just think as a wise, older character, you know, he's probably in his, you know, late 40s, early 50s, you know, he is older. But at the same time, great actor.
Yeah.
You know, brings some acting chops to that role, could play that, you know, character very well for yeah. many years. I just think that would be a great choice.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard rumors, and we even speculated on Al Pacino coming into
hear me out.
We speculated Al Pacino coming into WandaVision as a big bad, and that didn't happen. We know he was in talks with Marvel. I don't think he is right for Dr. Doom. I think he's too old.
Be 70?
He's in his late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. So I don't think him. But on my list, I have Jaime Lannister, Nikolai, how do you say his name?
Coster-Waldau.
Yeah, Nikolai Coster-Waldau. I have him on my Dr. Doom list. But my number one choice for that is Christopher Waltz.
Oh, he'd be so good now.
Wouldn't he be good?
Oh, my God.
From Django Unchained.
Django Unchained and Inglourious Basterds was probably one of the favorite
awesome.
Things he's always... I mean, he played that just scary... You know, that if you've never seen Inglourious Basterds, that first 15 minutes of that movie where he's sitting in that cabin and that entire family is hiding out underneath the floorboards and he's talking to the owner of the cabin. It's literally like you're on the edge of your seat the entire time.
Yeah.
He would be great.
Wouldn't he be good at that?
I wonder if he could
older. Yeah. He's older. That's what
I love him though. He's great.
And that would be a like an Anthony Hopkins type chops, like acting chops level guy in that movie. I don't know
if he's won an Oscar, but he's definitely been a nominee several times. So I'm not sure if he won for any of those roles. I think he might have, but I'd have to go back and look at that.
Awesome.
The other one that I've heard rumored is Michael Fassbender. So played Magneto famously in the kind of second iteration of the X-Men movies, the Days of Future Past and X-Men First Class.
Do love him.
They do. And, you know, if we believe that the kind of latest iteration of the X-Men characters are not coming back to the MCU in any form or fashion, you kind of have that guy freed up. He's kind of a guy who he played Magneto really well.
Yeah.
Like he was probably the best Magneto we saw as much as I love Ian McKellen. He just never was as threatening as Michael Fassbender was, you know, physically.
No.
I think he'd play a great Dr. Doom.
Good call.
And that could be somebody I could see in that role.
I like that.
All right.
Good call.
Well, that's our list. Any others you want to bring up?
I thought we were going to throw out Fantastic Four or
we can. I mean, we've talked about Fantastic Four in a previous episode. We did a whole kind of rankings list of all the people on the Fantastic Four. But like, give me what like your dream casting of Fantastic Four would be. I know you put it together, so let's hear it.
John Krasinski. I mean,
Emily Blunt, John Krasinski as
Reed Richards. Exactly.
And Sue Storm.
Zach Zac Efron as the Human Torch and Tom Hopper as the Thing, which I don't know. You could really put anybody as the Thing, but that would be my dream casting.
I feel that we're going to get some news about this sometime soon.
Soon, right?
I just have a feeling. And you know what? A lot of the actors that we listed for these other roles could play any of those roles
any of
as
them.
Well.
Any of them.
And all we know is that, you know, Marvel's going to, they're going to put the right, they cannot screw the Fantastic Four up. They cannot do it because
so
the last
pressure.
One was so bad.
So bad.
So bad. And they were like, once we got this property back, we need to do it right. Yeah. And they promised us we're going to do it right.
Yeah.
And so we know they're going to put the right people in those roles. I mean, you know, with John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, you know, kind of, they're openly asking to do these roles and they want to be these characters and the two of them being married. And it's such a natural fit.
Yeah.
And if you are going to please every fan out there, I mean, we as the fans want these people
sure.
to be cast in these roles. Yeah. They're openly campaigning for the roles.
Yeah.
And we as fans want them to have those roles. I mean, at this point in time, there was a rumor a couple of months ago that who was rumored to be Sue Storm? It was Katniss. What's her name?
Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence had been rumored that she had been cast as Sue Storm, and everybody was like, "Okay, I kind of see it, but no, we want Emily Blunt to do it."
And the Glover kid was in that as well. You know, you never know. They could go.
They could
mixed racial.
They could go with a diversity.
A diversity,
just like
thing.
They did with the last. What they put Michael B. Jordan as the Human Torch,
which is fine, but don't make it shitty. I mean, make it
and they
real
won't.
And
they
realistic.
Won't. They you know Daniel. If they do Daniel Glover or not Daniel Glover,
his son.
Yeah.
Something Glover.
Yeah. But if they do go that direction, they'll do it right.
Yeah.
You know, again, I trust that they will cast those roles well. But I do think they got, I mean, literally, can you imagine the announcement that's going to be of who these people are going to be playing these roles?
Well, you talk about automatically having a fan base and a following that would be instant. So I hope they do that. But anyway, we'll move on.
We'll get there.
We got a question of the week. Kind of, sort of. Greg Beyer called us out.
It's a follow-up from last week's show. So
God bless you, Greg Beyer. You're absolutely correct.
I got this question in person, by the way. And so we did our questions of the week last week. And one of the questions we were asked was, who was the best actor to play Superman in any of the properties? And who was the best actress to play the smoke show Lois Lane? And we went over all of our rankings of all the different actors and actresses. And we came up with Terry Hatcher as the best, you know, smoke show Lois Lane. And we were
no question.
But he was like, how could you have missed the hottest Lois Lane, Erica Durance from Smallville? Oh, I mean, he's like, how
I'm
did you miss that?
I'm embarrassed.
And she is just, and he, number one, definite smoke show. And
absolutely.
I don't know how you missed that, Titanium. I mean, literally, your smoke show
I was beside
meter
myself.
Was off.
And I told Greg, I said, you are absolutely correct. I feel horrible. And apparently,
where would she have been on the rankings list?
Apparently, Greg's dirtier than me because he found that smoke show. I don't know how I left her off, Greg. I'm sorry, but you're absolutely right. I have number two.
She would definitely be a number two on my list.
No Terry Hatcher, please. Come on. She's not going to be number one. But she is a smoke. Yeah. And I can't, I'm embarrassed I left her off.
And
but Greg, you're right.
She played that role in Smallville. She was probably in her early 20s when she was on Smallville.
Yeah.
She's been in several things since. She's one of those actresses who's gotten better looking as she's gotten into her like 30s, which is kind of crazy. But yes, definite smoke show for sure.
Yeah. Good call, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
We apologize for that, and we'll give you that shout out. All right. So
I hear the bell ringing, Professor.
Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or at supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone. We'll be right back.